me to the book of John, chapter 3 and verse 1. John 3 and 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? He was just incredulous. He was blown away by what Jesus answered him. 1 Thessalonians 1 and 5, Paul wrote to the church of Thessalonica. He said, For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of man we were among you for your sake. And then one more passage of scripture, Romans 1 and 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And this morning, I want to preach to you. I woke up early this morning with this phrase going over and over in my mind. The power and passion of the gospel. The power and passion of the gospel. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I ask you to touch our hearts and our minds, Lord, that you would touch us with your word, Lord, that you would let it resonate deep within our spirit, Lord, that it would get a hold of us, that it would take root in us. Lord, not only this powerful gift that you have given us, but also this powerful responsibility that you have placed in our hands. Lord, I pray that you would fill someone with the gift of the Holy Ghost today. Lord, I pray that you would have someone submit to the obedience of Scripture and be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of their sins today. Lord, I pray that you would challenge every saint, Lord, that have already received this beautiful new birth message, Lord, to proclaim it, to witness, to teach, to reach those that are around them. Lord, I ask you to let the power and the passion of the gospel to get a hold of us in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let's put our hands together for the word of God. Amen. The power and passion of the gospel. God bless you. You may be seated. This good news message that we have today, this is not just some theory. It is not some side note in the history of our world. But this message that we hold dear today is the very gateway, the door, the only door by which we are able to come in to the kingdom of God. And I think we need to get a fresh understanding today. Those of us that have already received this beautiful news, this beautiful gospel, we need to fall in love with it all over again, because it is the amazing grace that reached down to us, that was able to bring us out of what we were into who we are today. I'm so thankful for the scripture that lists all the terrible things that go on in our world, all the sins, all the things that people struggle with. And then it makes this powerful statement. It says, and such were some of you. That is a powerful word. In fact, I preach another message called The Wonderful World of Were. I'm glad that we are living in a relationship with God that is not some icing on a cake. It is not some rug that covers up our sin, but it's all still there. I'm thankful that we're not just putting on a cloak, hiding all of our sickness and all of our sin and all of the refuse in our life. I'm glad that we're not just covering it up today, but I'm glad that I have good news that such were some of you, that you are not what you were, but you are a new creature bought with a price, and the blood of Jesus has set you free. Hallelujah. I'm glad that we do not have any recovering alcoholics in the kingdom. They are all reformed. They are all new. They are all brand new people because everything is new in the church. Amen. And so here we are. We have the power and the passion of the gospel. The good news is that old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. The good news is you were this, but now you are that. The good news is no matter what kind of shape you come in to the house with, that God is well able to transform what you were, what you are, into something beautiful. He is able to take the broken pieces, as we talked about last Sunday morning, and put them together and not just hide the brokenness, but highlight the beauty of all the things that have happened in your life, because His glory shines brighter in the midst of weakness, in the midst of brokenness. And so here you are today. You are in the house of God, and I have good news to bring that just because you were this, now you can be everything that God has called you to be. Amen. You are not bound by the old things. You're not bound by the old ways. You are not defined by the household that you were brought up in. Amen. Amen. You are not defined by the socioeconomic status that you were born in. You are not defined by the color of your skin. You're not defined by the nationality of your family. You're not defined by all of that. You're not defined by your intellect. You're not defined by your looks today. You're not defined by anything. But oh, God has reached down to everyone and said, whosoever will, let them come and drink from the waters of life freely. Hey man, it's good news today. It's good news because it is for everyone that Jesus Christ paid the price for this good news. He bought it for you. I love the scripture passages in Isaiah 53. It says, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he, Jesus, shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs. Anybody have griefs today? You're in the right place. He has carried our sorrows. Anyone have sorrows? You don't have to carry them today. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement or the punishment of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. he hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed and shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. I have good news for you. I have a great report for you that he became your sin. Every lie that you ever told, every thought that you ever thought, every situation that you were in that was against the will of God and the word of God, he rolled it all together and he took it on himself, and he was punished for your sin. He was punished for your sin. When I could not bear it, when I could not do it, he said, I will. He was the substitution for me. He was the substitution for my punishment. He was the substitution for my shame. He was the substitution for my sin. He was the substitution for my grief. He took it on himself, and he allowed himself to be beaten and to be broken and to be destroyed in this life. And he rose again the third day so that we could be triumphant. I love the fact that the Bible says that he took our shame. He took our shame. Romans 10 and 11 says, for scripture saith, whoso believeth on him shall not be ashamed. You know, shame is one of the deepest, hardest feelings to get past. Because shame happens sometimes when you do things wrong, but it also, shame can be put on you by other people. There are people in this house today that you have been abused by others, either verbally, physically, maybe even in other ways, you have been abused. And your spirit is wounded. And you are ashamed today. And you feel, even now, as I begin to mention this situation in your own life, even though we may not be aware of it, even though no one will know, there is still a feeling of shame that comes over you. There is almost a blush to your face because you know how you feel. And so shame is such a deep inset feeling that it's very difficult to get away from, and people struggle with it. But oh, I want you to know today that in this house, if you have been redeemed or if you have not been redeemed, sometimes that shame will creep back into our life, and we need to be reminded that in the gospel there is no shame. We that believe on him shall never be ashamed. We don't have to worry about our past. We don't have to worry about what we've done or what others have done to us, because his blood is able to wash it away. He was not just pierced. He did not just bleed outwardly for our sins, but the Bible says that he was bruised. It's those hidden things, those things under the surface, those things that we hide. How you doing? Oh, I'm fine. How's it going? Oh, it's going great. We hide it. But I'm so thankful that he just wasn't outwardly shamed, but he was bruised. He carried our sorrows. I have good news for you, because it is the power and the passion of the gospel. This is not some flippant bubblegum type information. This is not some just good feeling story that we talk about. But this gospel that we're talking about, yes, we call it good news, and we call it the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it sounds wonderful, but I want you to know that it is so much deeper than that, because we are not our own, but we have been bought with a price. And this news, this report that we are getting today, this good report, this report of victory, this report of salvation, is not something that came lightly, but it came with a deep cost.
cost, and so it's so valuable. You might as well take a hold of it. It is a free gift for you. Amen. You don't have to live with shame anymore. You don't have to live with the pain of guilt. You don't have to live with the scars anymore because you are new in Him. Amen. You have been redeemed. You have been redeemed. He became the spotless lamb so that He could die for you. We were not bought with the blood of goats and ox and sheep, but oh, we were bought with the price of the one spotless lamb, the Holy One of God, the one that knew no sin, that knew no mistakes, that knew no shame in Himself. There was no guile that could be found in His mouth. Even those that wanted to judge Him had a hard time finding anything to judge Him for because it could not be found. And so here we are. We are guilty. But in Him, today I can lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In myself, my righteousness, the Bible says, is as filthy rags. I could not stand before you today. I could not lift up holy hands today. I could not speak the words of life today if it were not for the good news. Amen. Joel prophesied of this day. Be glad, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for He hath given you the former rain moderately, and He will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil, and I will restore unto you the years that the locusts have eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm. My great army which I sent among you. He said, I will restore all the things that the enemy has taken. Today, I don't care where you have come from. I don't care how low you've gone. I don't care what kind of scars you walked in with. I want you to know that you have come into the house of the Restorer. He is able to take all the refuse of your life. He is able to take the ashes of your life. He is able to take the remains that are left over from all the spent time. And He is able to bring them in. And He is able to redeem them and make of you a holy nation. And His promise says, and ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that had dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never, never, never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else in my people shall never be ashamed. There it is again. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And upon the servants and upon the handmaidens in those days, I will pour out my Spirit, we shall never be ashamed. Hebrews 12 and 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest we be wearied and faint in your minds. No longer do we have to carry the shame of our deeds, the broken homes and broken marriages, the words spoken in anger, the decisions that we wish we could go back and undo, the things that we wish we could erase from our own memories. I have good news. You may not be able to erase them from yours, but He can erase them from His. Out of all of God's power and his unlimited access to his abilities. To me, I think one of the greatest things that, in fact, it's very difficult for you and I to comprehend, because we forget things, but we forget things randomly, right? We're not like a computer where you can go and you can find a file and you pluck it out on purpose and you drop it into your trash can and then you delete it and then it's gone. We're not able to do that. I don't know about you, but I just forget randomly. I can't pick and choose what I remember and what I forget. Amen. And the older I get, the worse it gets. Somebody told me the other day, they told me something. I said, I don't even remember that happening. But there's some things in my life I wish I could scroll back to a certain day, a certain time, and a certain year. And I wish I could take out that thought and drop it. I wish I could go back and take out that deed and drop it. Oh, if I could only do that, I would feel so much better about myself today. Because when I preach messages like this, I'm not just preaching to you, but I'm preaching to myself. I can remember. I remember all the things I don't want to remember. And I wish I could scroll back and take those things away, but I can't. But of all the power of his speaking creation into existence with just his words, upholding everything by his power, by his word, by his anointing, and by his power, he just went over the face of the deep and he created it, put it all into order. He started time. He put the sun, the moon out, and all the stars and all the planets. All that power. Can you imagine? But one of the most powerful things that he has the ability to do, the Bible says that he forgets. He cast our sins as far as the east is from the west. It never stops. He cast our sins into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be brought up again. He places our mistakes onto the blood. And so whatever you were, he does not remember what you were. He only knows what you are. And so we sit in a service like this, and we sit in the presence of the Lord like this, and we recall those things and we drag them back up out of the blood. We drag them back out over the surface and we identify ourselves as that. But oh, I have good news for you. I have good news. Though you can remember it, he does not remember it. Amen. We shall not be ashamed. No longer do we have to carry the shame of our past deeds. No longer do we have to hide our faces when the enemy tries to remind us of our sinful actions. We revel, we celebrate, we exalt him because of his sacrifice, because now we were something that we are not anymore. Now we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. Now, though my righteousness is rags, I put on a robe of holiness which only he can purchase. Amen. I lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Amen. When shame creeps in today, when shame creeps in, just remind yourself. There is therefore now no condemnation To them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Remember Romans 5:5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Remember 2 Timothy 1:12, for the which cause I also suffered these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Remember 1 John 2:28, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. When Jesus comes back for the church, my memory will want to, oh, no. But oh, my experience says I can run to him. My experience says I have nothing to be ashamed of. My experience says I have confidence because of his sacrifice. Amen. The power and the passion of the gospel. So here we are today, and we have two responsibilities. One, if you're in this place and you have not repented, you must repent of your sins. Repentance is not just, I'm sorry, but repentance is a decision, a direction change to walk with God and to stop pursuing your own ideals and the world's ideals. If you're in this place and you have not been baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of your sins, the removal of your sins, in the name of Jesus, then you must obey the scripture. Because as Peter said on the day of Pentecost, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Everywhere someone was baptized for salvation's sake in scripture, they were all baptized in Jesus' name. The reference in Matthew 28:19, where Jesus told us to go and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Father is not a name. Holy Ghost is not a name. Son is not a name. Jesus is his name. Amen. 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 Singular. And so the same people that heard him say that in Matthew were the same people that baptized everyone in Jesus' name. So if you've been baptized and you're not sure how you were baptized, you need to be rebaptized. Now, if you want a reference for that, just read Acts 19. The men that came to Paul in the upper coast, they were baptized unto John's baptism, which was just a baptism of repentance. It was a statement of understanding that they needed to change. But it didn't stop there. Baptism really matters. It doesn't matter if you just get wet, but it matters how you get baptized, and that is in the name of Jesus. So when Paul realized that they had not been baptized in Jesus' name, he baptized them. Again. Everybody say again. So if you've been baptized and you're not sure how you were baptized, if you're baptized in the titles, Father, and Son, and the Holy Ghost without calling on the name of Jesus, you need to be rebaptized again. Amen. We've got to make our calling election sure. And then we lift up our hands. We begin to worship our God out loud, and he will fill us with the power of the Holy Ghost, with evidence of speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. Amen. And so with this gospel today, our first responsibility is to receive it and obey it. Except a man be born of again of the water and of the Spirit, the baptism and the Holy Ghost. If you're not born of that, you cannot see the kingdom. You cannot enter the kingdom. You're without the kingdom. So the first responsibility is to receive it and obey it. Our second responsibility is for all those here
that have received it. Because this is the way, the truth, and the life. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so we have a responsibility to tell people, to teach people, to bring people, to witness to people. It's the power and the passion. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. It is a passion. The saving of souls is a passion. We have got to give ourselves to this. This is so important. What if you had the cure for cancer? What if you had it and you didn't tell anybody? What if you had the cure for diabetes and you never told anyone? You just kept it to yourself and you took it to the grave. Now, how wrong would that be? But guess what? You've already had, or you just received today, the greatest cure in all the world. And that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The remission of sins. Repentance preached in His name. Baptism in Jesus' name. The infilling of the Holy Ghost. It's the greatest cure of all the world. How can we be silent? How can we keep it to ourselves? My neighbor needs it. My family needs it. My co-workers need it. Come on, we need it. Oh, hallelujah. Let's stand all across this place. If you have not received the gift of the Holy Ghost, it's for you today. It's not some crazy thing. You don't have to stand on your head. You don't have to turn somersaults. You just come up here, and if you've already repented, you just lift up your hands and open your mouth. He's not going to make you speak, but He will take over your tongue if you will speak it out and let Him fill you with the power of the Holy Ghost. And the evidence of that Holy Ghost coming in is the yielding of the most unruly member, the Bible calls it, and that is your tongue. And if you haven't been baptized in Jesus' name, the water's ready. It's nice and warm. We've got towels. We've got robes. We've got everything you need. You can be baptized before you leave this place today. And the rest of us, we need to get a hold of the passion for this gospel. Amen. Can we come? Let's make it easy for those that want to come and pray today. Oh, in Jesus' name. It's the power and the passion of the gospel. Oh, it's life. It's peace. Oh, it's everything. Hallelujah. Oh, we need You, Jesus. We need You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray.